the different things that happen in our lives. I don't know about you, I'm truly impressed and amazed by the sovereign plan of God and how He works all things. Amen. But someone as well said, the world is a university and everyone in it is a teacher. Make sure when you wake up in the morning, you go to school. Many of us remember the sense of accomplishment when maybe we got that high school diploma and we looked around and saw all those surprised people. We couldn't believe we made it. Amen. And then some of us maybe even went a step further and got maybe an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree. And people just looked at us. I know when I tell people ask me, they said, hey, I saw you in a graduation cap and gown last year. They said, what was that all about? I said, well, I received a doctor of divinity. They said, you got a doctorate degree? I said, it was given. Okay, it was given. I didn't go to school for all those extra years. But think about that sense of accomplishment. And I remember one of my teachers saying to us that were students there at Bible College, they said, you know, your theology classes don't end the day you graduate. They really just begin. Because if you're in the ministry, you're going to be breaking open the Word of God for the rest of your life, and you better get in and study. Amen? I hope, and I know we don't have demanding people here, but I hope that you would want a pastor that studies. I hope that you would want a pastor that's in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and I know some of you read a Proverbs a day, Proverbs chapter 4, it says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give unto you good doctrine, forsake not ye my law. I was in my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments. Verse 5 says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Hey, if there's a lesson I want to teach my boys and my little girl, it's always be learning. Always be learning. Never be afraid to learn something new. Amen. You think about that. There are always lessons to be learned. And by the way, parents, to be taught in life. There are always lessons to be learned and taught. There's so many teaching moments. Those of you that have small children, us young couples, as I say, amen. Us young couples, all the couples in their 20s and those of us in our 40s that have young children, amen. Hey, there's so many teaching moments in life. You know, the bad times, we teach. Don't we? You know, when you lose your cool, you're teaching. Help me, church. Help me. Help me preach a little bit. When something bad comes into our life, how do we respond? Well, think about it. We learn lessons in many classrooms. I think about the lessons that we learn from our parents and our grandparents. You know, the older I get, the wiser my father becomes. Any of you guys with me on that? Amen. It's just amazing. Amen. The lessons. And by the way, young people, let me say something to you. To the young people of our church, I want to tell you something. You ought to get around the older people of this church. One of the greatest visits, they're not here so I can pick on them, but I won't pick on them. One of the greatest visits I ever had was when my wife and I went out just on a visit call, just on a call, on a Saturday call. Somebody help me, amen. Saturday calling, amen. We went to visit Hugh and Donna Howland. And I didn't know them that well at the time. And I remember just going out there. And those of you know, Brother Hugh's a very quiet man, like a lot of you men are, and I thank God for you. But I'm telling you, he opened up and he began to tell me the story of his life. And I thought, this man is oozing with wisdom. And I thought, I need to get my kids around. And we went out there and he took the boys out on he's got a big backhoe back there. And they thought that was the greatest thing in the world, being around Mr. Hey, young people, I'll tell you what. You'd do well to get around some of the older people of this church. And by the way, precious senior saints that would love young fellowship. Amen. I think of our parents and our grandparents that we learn lessons from. I think of our mentors that we have in life. We have mentors. I think of coaches that I had in my life. I remember my Little League coach, Mr. Don Alonzo. Mr. Alonzo, he was a Little League coach for like 30 years. It's unbelievable. I can't believe how you always throw batting practice. After he was in his 60s throwing batting practice, and I remember the lessons I learned from them. You never guess this, but as a young athlete, I was very competitive and hot-headed. You never guess that. I know. But I was, and I remember Mr. Alonzo calmly dealing with me and helping me. I think of other teachers that I've had along the way, people that have taught me things. We have mentors. We have our parents. You know what else we learn in the classroom of observation, don't we? You say, what do you mean, Pastor, the classroom of observation? Well, here's a lesson from the classroom of observation. You don't have to step in front of a Mack truck to know it will kill you. Amen. That's a lesson of observation. Amen. You realize, hey, this is a physics issue. If I stand in front of we observe. Young people, again, I'm not just focusing on the young people, but young people, young dads, learn from the mistakes of others. Don't judge them for those mistakes. Don't point your bony Pharisaical finger at them, but learn. Learn. Don't feel that you must make all the mistakes yourself. Learn from the mistakes of others. Brother Curtis Hudson said that. Our observation, our mentors, our parents, our classrooms, we learn in our own personal experience. I think about this, a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Vernon Law. He said this about experience. He said, experience is a hard teacher because she gives the test first and the lesson afterwards. Isn't that true? Experience. We did wrong. We had a bad experience, amen, and we learned the lesson after the fact. Don't we want, parents, don't we want our kids to learn the lesson from our bad experiences and not on their own? So our parents, our mentors, our observation, our experiences. You know, one of the great teachers or classrooms of life is our good times, the good times in life. What a blessing it was to be at Pastor Mark and Miss Lindsay's wedding. See this young couple just starting out. Just starting out. Amen. Just getting started. I think of my own self 20 years ago, and I had the same haircut, but I had my waistline was a little different. Amen. Just back then, it didn't have so many loops in the belt and all that. And I remember just standing there, and in come my bride. And we just got started. And just the people that are coming along and telling you in those good times, helping you. Thank God for the good times. But I want to submit to you that there's a classroom that many of us resist. We don't mind learning from our parents, and we don't like learning from our mentors, and we don't like learning from our observation or our experiences or our good times. But we resist the classroom of the valley, don't we? Trials. Difficulties, hard times. Really, when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we learn more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. Amen. See, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to submit some things to you from the Word of God, but let me just give you the context of the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. It's really comfort for the captives. The first 39 chapters, some have called Isaiah a miniature Bible. Your Bible has 66 books. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. The first 39 books of the Bible, the Old Testament, deal with judgment of sin. And the first 39 chapters of Isaiah deal with judgment of sin. But then we know the New Testament, the last 27 books of the Bible, give comfort and mercy and forgiveness of sin. And the very first verse of chapter 40 of Isaiah says what? Comfort ye, my people. There's so much prophecy in the book of Isaiah, in particular in our text, verses 3 through 5. Many of you that know your Bibles will know the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We remember who said that. It was John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, look, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord's coming. And he was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Verse 4 is our text. It says there that every valley shall be exalted. And again, for you 401 Bible students, those of you that know that Old Testament, that's speaking of that glorious period of time that we know of as the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. When all things are made right, when the rose blooms without thorns, amen. Hey, when the adder and the sheep can lay down together, when the lion and lamb can lay down together, when everything is made right by the Lord Jesus, that's when it will be fulfilled. I would like to give you today, if I could, just a little application out of that phrase. Every valley shall be exalted. In talking about this subject of Valley University, number one, remember this, God can be trusted in the valleys. God can be trusted in the valleys. One of the greatest valleys we read of in the Bible is the story of Abraham and Isaac, starting in a valley and then ascending up on Mount Moriah. And what was the purpose of that? It was to prove Abraham. And God said to Abraham, He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, it's important to realize the faith of Abraham. It's important to realize that this was a test. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because God had promised that through Isaac, that Abraham would have so many sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters that they would be as the sand of the sea. But what did Abraham do? He took Isaac, and he took the wood, and he took the knife, and they began to ascend up. And Isaac said to Abraham, he said, my father, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? You know what Abraham said? He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And you remember the story. He bound Isaac, did everything that God told him to do, bound him, got the knife up, and God said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, harm not thy son. And he looked over in the side, and there was a ram caught in a thicket, a sacrifice. You see, ladies and gentlemen, those valleys when God doesn't make any sense, He can still be trusted. He can still be... Hey, think about that time when Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to go over to the other side. And Brother Bryce, they began to go and row and row, row, and a storm came up. Did God know that there was a storm coming? He sent them into it. And then He came walking on the water. And I don't think it was just this like we do. I think it was up the wave and then down the wave and then up the wave and then down the wave. And He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Miss Carol Ann, He still says that in the valleys, doesn't He? Going through a valley, be of good cheer. It's I. I'm still with you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. Amen. So listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I want to submit to you that in Valley University, a lesson that you can learn is that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. What did Paul say during that storm, during that valley? He said, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Hey, you're in a valley right now. Church, can I tell you something? Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know what the book of Revelation says? Forgive me. We win. That's what it says. You're on the winning side. Say, I'm in a valley right now. Hey, let me submit to you the first lesson to learn from Valley University is that God can be trusted. Number two, another lesson to be learned is that God has a plan in the valley. God has a plan in the valley. You want an example? Joseph. Joseph literally got put in a valley. It was called a pit, didn't he? And then Joseph is hated by his brothers, and Joseph is sold by his brothers, and Joseph goes and he falls into the valley of misunderstanding from his brothers, didn't he? He was misunderstood. They envied him. They hated him. He was in the valley of evil intentions, wasn't he, from his brothers? They didn't just want to put him into a pit. They didn't just want to sell him, Brother Kevin. They wanted to kill him. He was in the valley of hurtful actions of others. They sold him. And there's an interesting phrase there. It says that they spared not. He cried out and said, please, don't do this. And they didn't heed. In the valley, hurtful actions. You know, thinking about that, there's a plan in the valley when false accusations come. Anybody ever been falsely accused? Well, let me just tell you something, by the way, for those that would falsely accuse, I've got real material on me if you want it. Spurgeon said this, brother, if a man thinks ill of you, fear not. You are far worse than he thinks you to be. Amen to that. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, wasn't he? Oh, he brought this Hebrew into Machus. He tried to assault me. It was the other way around, wasn't it? So that was a valley. I can tell you this, false accusation doesn't feel very good. It hurts. It hurts. Here's Joseph. He's in this valley of misunderstanding and evil intentions and hurtful actions and false accusation. Hey, the unjust valley, or the valley of unjust imprisonment. He got thrown into prison through no fault of his own. And then after he helped somebody in prison, he fell into the valley of forgetfulness. Remember what Joseph said to that butler? That butler, he said, you're going to go back to Pharaoh's palace, and I just ask you one thing, just remember me. And in the very next verse, I think it's Genesis 41, it says, but he forgot him. But you know what? Through all that, and not just one valley, many valleys, amen? And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What happened? Pharaoh had a dream. And he said to all his people, he said, I've had a dream and it's gone away from me. And I can't understand that. I don't know what it means. And the butler said, I remember my faults this day. There was a Hebrew in prison. And he interpreted our dream, and it came to pass just like he said. And Pharaoh said, call him out. And Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. And Joseph, by the way, gave God the glory. He said, do not interpretations belong unto God? Proof positive that a Pharaoh was not God. Otherwise, he would have known his own dream. He said, I'll tell you, it's not going to be me that gives you an answer. It's going to be God. And he told him exactly what was going to happen. He said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine that are so bad that people are going to forget about the plenty. And you better stock up now. And of course, they begin. And God used Joseph to save the world, but it didn't happen without valleys. We read the story of Joseph. We read the story. Hey, calm down here. Calm down. We read the story of Joseph, and I'm telling you, we get to the end and we thank God for it, but I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it was the valleys that made Joseph. It was the valleys. Gave him compassion. So, Valley University, what do we learn? We learn that God can be trusted. We learn that God has a plan. I love this. Go into Luke chapter 7 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 7. A couple points out of this chapter. Look at verse number 11 when you get there. Verse number 11, Luke chapter 7. It says, and it came to pass that day after they went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So here is a lady that had lost her husband, and now she lost her son. She had nobody, which was a very big deal in Bible times, to not have anybody to care for you. And much people of the city was with her, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier of the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him unto his mother. And there came great fear upon all. And they glorified God, saying, "That a great prophet hath risen up amongst us, and that God hath visited his people." Say, God can be trusted in valleys. God has a plan in the valleys. Can I give you another one here? God can do the impossible in valleys. You say, "Well, I don't know anybody that's been raised from the dead lately." I understand that. I understand. Jesus was on the earth. His miracles served a specific purpose. But you listen to me. God can do the impossible in a valley. God, it is in the valley when we recognize the hand of God doing the impossible. I think about things that have happened in your lives and in my life in valleys. And I said, that'll never... Can I tell you this? In my heart, my dad will never be saved. It was pretty obvious, Mom, he wasn't going to be saved. He didn't want anything to do with it. And then came the valley. Sickness. Long time ago, I asked God to give my dad a deathbed. I said, "Please give him a deathbed." You say, "Why? Why would you pray for something like that?" Because he would never listen when he was healthy. But God gave him a valley and did the impossible. And there in his hospital bed, he trusted Christ within hours of having a massive stroke. I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It is in the valleys where God can do the impossible. Maybe it's because we don't need him to do the impossible when we're on the mountaintops. But boy, in those valleys, we need him, and he can do the impossible. Amen. Let me give you another one there out of Luke chapter 7, verse 19. It says, "And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Remember this, John the Baptist was in prison for doing the right thing, for coming up to somebody and saying, "Listen, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You killed your brother to get her. It's not right. It's wrong. It's wicked." And they cast him into prison. It said, verse 20, "When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us to thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, how that the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached." John the Baptist, according to Jesus Christ, is the greatest man born of man and woman. Brother Mark, that's quite an endorsement. That's quite an endorsement. But you know what? He was in a valley, wasn't he? He was in a valley of discouragement. He was in a valley of discouragement. He looked at all the circumstances around. And by the way, prolonged sickness, prolonged imprisonment, that'll get you discouraged. Amen. Not being able to function. I had a great visit yesterday just thinking about people that are getting older and you're not able to do the things that you used to do. Amen. And it can be discouraging. But I promise you this, the lesson from this text right here is that God is able to comfort you in the valleys. God is able to comfort you in the valleys. You know, when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, in that great passage in John 14 that starts with, "Let not your heart be troubled." As he began, he comforted his disciples and he told them about a real heaven that he was preparing and that they would be ready to go. But in verse 16, he said this, "And I will give you another comforter." Amen. The Holy Spirit of God, that he may abide with you forever. You know, when you don't have anybody, you've still got the Holy Spirit of God. And it's amazing how people that truly know God, though they are discouraged, though they're in a valley, they can open up the precious Word of God and receive comfort from the Spirit of God. I thank God for that. Do we get comfort on the mountaintops? Sometimes. Sometimes. But we're much more apt to get comforted in the valley. When we're down, when we're discouraged, we read the promise, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. This passage, comfort ye, my people. Oh, I think about these valleys. In the valleys, Valley University, we learn that God can be trusted. We learn that God has a plan. We learn that God can do the impossible. We learn that God can comfort us. Remember the story of Paul and the thorn in the flesh? And how he prayed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he prayed three times that God would remove it. And He didn't. Hey, sometimes we get mad at God because He doesn't remove the thorn that we ask. You know what He taught us? You know what He taught Paul in that valley? He taught us that God's grace is sufficient. So I don't like that. Can I tell you something? Can I confess a fault to you? Sometimes I much don't like it myself. I would have been, Brother Tim, I'd been much, much happier if I read that story of the barrel, the meal and oil, if the barrel and the meal was pouring over every day. But the Bible doesn't say it was. It just said it never went dry. I imagine you had a barrel like this full of meal and you got down to the very end, Brother Bryce, and you reached down there and you just had a little bit, you can make a cake, and then woke up the next day and said, oh boy. Well, guess that's it. Wait. Ooh. Hey, that wasn't there yesterday. I'd pick up a little bit more. Hey, that's the way God's grace is.
Amen.
That's the way God's grace is. Amen. There's a song in our book. I don't know if we've ever sung it. It's called New Grace. It's a great song. There'll be grace for every trial. There'll be grace for every mile. Just enough. Amen? Yeah. Not extra. Just enough. The word is sufficient. Sustenance. Okay? Sufficient. Grace. Sufficient grace. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God gives us sufficient grace in the valleys. God can comfort us in the valleys. God can do the impossible in the valleys. God has a plan in the valleys. God can be trusted in the valleys. Let me give you two more here. God shows us that He is our Father in the valleys. God shows us that He is our Father. You know, sometimes valleys are of our own making. Smile. Still Sunday morning for two more minutes, amen. Sometimes valleys of our own making. And if you get in a valley of your own making, you will experience something called chastening. In my home, when I was a kid, we called it getting a licking. Although I never understood that term very much. Amen. I understood whipping, and I understood belting, and I understood, but I never understood licking. But I had the good sense, you know, the Bible says, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise. I had the good sense not to ask my dad what the definition of a licking was. I didn't need to know what the definition was because the back of me knew what the definition was. Amen? That's because he was my father. The problem in society today, one of the many problems, is a lack of fathers. Listen to me. When you get in the valley of your own making, God will show you He's your Father. He'll chasten you. Amen. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that no chastening now seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And anybody who's ever been chastened by their own earthly father will say amen to that. This is going to hurt you worse than it does me. No, it's not. And as a father, it does hurt, but it always hurts them worse. I'm sorry. Amen. That's a lie that's been told through the generations. Amen. It hurts. It still hurts. The Bible says it hurts. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Hey, where does that happen? It happens in the valley. It happens in the valley that God shows us He's our Father. Not only the valleys of our own making, but valleys that are difficult. Hey, remember the whole passage in Matthew chapter 6 on worry? We love verse 33. I love it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added on you. Hey, you don't have to worry, because if you just seek God first, He'll take care of everything you need. But verse 32, Brother Brown, is the key. Why? It says, after all these things did the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He shows that He's our Father in the valleys. I think about when my boys are pretty happy, generally. But they get discouraged from time to time. Something doesn't go their way. Cotty is really good at it. And our latest phrase with Katia is, well, we have a couple. I'll say, Katia, do you want some ice cream? She'll say, yep. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Daddy's a sir. Mommy's a ma'am. Daddy's a boy. Mommy's a girl.
I'd like to teach that in every high school biology class right there. And for wisdom from a three-year-old, amen? But the latest one is when she gets all, yeah, we say, Katia, don't whine, ask. Can I tell you something to do in a valley? Don't whine. Ask. Ask. Ask God. Just ask God. Ask God to help you. Ask God to strengthen. You don't have to ask God for deep understandings of valleys. You could just ask God to help you. I don't think Joseph understood very well why he was in a pit. I don't think he understood, Brother Bill, that he was going to be second in command in Egypt. I don't think he understood that ever until he got there. But he trusted God the whole way. God will show us that He's our Father in the valleys. One more and I'll be done this morning. What do we learn at Valley University? We learn that God can be trusted. We learn that God has a plan. We learn that God can do the impossible. We learn that God can comfort us. We learn that God can give us sufficient grace. We learn that God shows us that He's our Father. And then, hallelujah for this. Go to Psalm 84 and we'll be done. Psalm 84. I love this. I preached a whole message on this text. And I need to preach it again just to encourage myself. Amen. Psalm chapter 84, verse 4. It says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. This story of this in Psalm chapter 84 is the story of the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And you remember, for a long time, the Israelites did not get to make that pilgrimage because they were in captivity. And they went through this place, and Brother Jeff, I tried to do as much study as I could on it. Nobody really knows where Baca is. But whatever it was a very dry place. And this says right there in verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filled the pools. There's so much in there that I would like to preach on, but I can't. It's just this, one day, ladies and gentlemen, one day. You know what it says there? They're passing through. They're passing through the valley of Baca. They're passing through. A valley is simply a geographical point between two mountains. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, we are passing through a valley right now, but we're heading to a place where there are no more valleys. There are no more valleys. There just aren't any anymore. There's no more burdens to bear. There's no more difficulties. There's no more trials. There's no more too much money in the month. And they don't worry. There's no more of that. There's no more fear. There's no more unknown. We'll be with God, with Him forever and ever and ever. And that's where He says, you know what? Every valley shall be exalted. Amen. Testimony time in heaven. Anyone looking forward to it? Brother Brown, bring a lunch. Amen. It's going to be a while. Maybe we can just eat right off the tree of life. Fruit. Amen. It'll be testimonies that we'll hear. There won't be any self-exaltation. It'll be, I was in the deepest valley of my life, and God helped me. Hey, I was at a point where I didn't know how I could go on. I was in this valley, and His grace was sufficient for me. I was completely cast off by my family. I didn't understand what was going on, and yet God exalted me, Joseph will say. And I was able to be reunited with my family and have a relationship with them for the rest of my life. Hey, we could go on and on and on. Listen, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you something. I want to invite you to come to a place where there are no more valleys. Maybe you're going through a valley today. This is one of those messages I know that hits just about everybody. Maybe you're going through a valley of difficulty with emotions. Maybe you're going through a valley of sickness. Maybe you're going through a valley of rejection. Maybe you're going through a valley of unknowns. I want to tell you something. God can meet your needs. You know what? He wants to be your God in the valleys. Miss Judy, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'd bless in our invitation time. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, brother.